£1 in 2006. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Kevin Legendre and Jazz Lineup.
Hello, the rollicking, raw and rugged calypso of Binker and Moses, just one of the many styles played by one of the bands of the moment, recorded on the Jazz Lineup stage at the Gateshead International Jazz Festival. Their much anticipated second album is out now, and they've certainly been busy touring across Europe. I was lucky enough to see them recently at the Wii Jazz Festival in Helsinki, and I can tell you they went down a storm. Also coming up today, music from several other British and international artists, including Tilinka and the great Jack DeJohnette, who has a brand new project called Hudson. Here's a taste. Little taste of music from Jack DeJohnette, and there'll be more from his project Hudson a bit later. New music now from an artist who's made a significant contribution to the recent history of a great American city. We're talking about New Orleans and the trumpeter Christian Scott Atunde Adjua. On his recordings in the past few years, Scott has explored new sounds using electronics and custom-built horns, and he does so again on Diaspora, which has ear-catching programming as well as live playing. This is a track with a subtle Spanish and rock flavor called Our Lady of New Orleans.
Thank you.
From his current album, Diaspora, the trumpeter Christian Scott Atunde Ajua with a piece called Our Lady of New Orleans. Well, if that celebrates a great American city, these two artists, the pianist Chick Corea and vocalist Bobby McFerrin, have been celebrating music from around the world for many years. They form an excellent duet, and here is a piece called I've Got the World on a String from the album The Musician.
I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see? I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold that string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. It's sad to say, sad to say, sad to say, sad to say, to life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold that string. I'd be silly so and so if I should ever let go. Got the world on a string.
City at a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life. What a world, what a life. What a world, what a life. Out in love. Oh, baby, come over here and talk to me. I didn't know you could play like that.
I've Got the World on a String by Chick Corea and Bobby McFerrin from the album The Musician. Still to come, a performance from Binker and Moses with their daring, thrilling combination of drums and saxophone. Firstly, another excellent duo, but this time it's two players from a different generation, Japanese pianist Aki Takase and American saxophone colossus David Murray. Cherry Secure is the title of their new album for the Swiss label Intact, and it has all the grace and fire you'd expect from two musicians who've covered all areas of the jazz tradition. This very touching piece, A Long March to Freedom, reminds us of Murray's roots in gospel music.
Thank you.
Takazi and David Murray's A Long March to Freedom, a song which seems very relevant to the times in which we live, from the album Cherry Sakura, which is available now on the Intact label. Time for some more live music recorded at the Gateshead Jazz Festival at the Sage. We hosted the free stage for one afternoon at the festival, and we were delighted to welcome Binker and Moses, the young high flyers of British jazz, who've made a real impact on the scene in the past few years. We'll enjoy their set shortly, but before that, let's hear what they had to say when I caught up with them backstage. They hadn't long returned from the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, where they were part of a whole slew of British artists doing showcases. Saxophonist Binker Golding was keen to tell me about the experience.
It's amazing. Austin, Texas is one of my new favourite places to be. It's one of the best festival experiences of my life, I would say. And I would say to anybody that's not been to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, you should make the trip and go and make the journey to East 6th Street, where it's all happening. Great bars, great people, great attitude. It's not the sort of stereotypical image that we have here of Texas. It's a very interesting, liberal city, and it's a wonderful place to play music, and thoroughly enjoyed it. The audience were absolutely amazing, very warm people, and some interesting characters from the grime scene that we greatly admire. For example, Kano and Getz were there performing, representing London, and it was great to see them up close and personal in South by Southwest. It's a very intimate experience, I think, in most of the venues that I went to in South by Southwest, which makes a great atmosphere.
Moses, what do people in Austin, Texas know about British jazz?
You know what? They in Texas, they surprised me, their knowledge on particularly British jazz. A lot of people I was just talking to on the street and came to the showcase were really well-versed and adept in sort of knowing what was going on here, like surprised all of us, I think. There was a lot of good PR and hype prior to going with the whole Jazz Refresh British Underground sort of UK jazz showcase. But equally, I was meeting people on the streets that were telling me about things, you know, people like myself, Theon Cross, and, you know, that they're listening and, you know, watching all over. So it definitely took me back, but it's the same here. You know, it's the internet is a great tool. And I think I was wrongly sort of assuming that we weren't going to be received in the same way. But people are really interested to hear something slightly different to what they're accustomed to in the sort of America. And I think, yeah, the audience is quite knowledgeable, for sure.
Did you get the sense that they understand where you're coming from stylistically and culturally, that as much as you are jazz musicians, as Binker said, you're also greatly influenced by the grime scene, you admire grime artists, you grew up listening to hip-hop, electronica, a whole range of music. It's not just jazz, and that's a vital part of who you are.
I think definitely. I think the audiences were really, I think they're really, really receptive to all the influences, particularly at a place like South by Southwest and Austin. They have this slogan in Austin, keep Austin weird. And it's like, yeah, you see it everywhere. And like, it's a, as Binker said, it's a very liberal town. So particularly in Austin, you know, people are really eclectic with their tastes. And I think, you know, people at my showcase that did stop and talk to me were, you know, equally going to see something like Savages as well as The Slaves, or, you know, as well as me or Solange next door who was playing, and really, you know, really well-versed and understanding in all of the cultures and the influences in all of those styles of music, not just mine. So I think, yeah, I don't think it was anything over their head at all. You know, I think, if anything, I underestimated the audience massively, you know, wrongly.
So you've had the drums and sax duo for a couple of years now. It's been developing steadily. I think the sound is becoming more and more distinctive. How do you make sure that you guys really sound like you?
We spend a lot of time kind of just listening to ourselves, really. And we talk a lot about ideas and discuss things and what would work and doesn't work, and try to create sometimes a visual image in your head before you even set pen to paper or anything like that, or even played a note. We come up with maybe an idea or a concept and sort of work backwards from it. And on top of all of that, just to always be true to ourselves, basically. People will often like to talk about, for example, Coltrane and Elvin Jones and things, which are our heroes, you know, without a doubt. But I must say, I don't think we think of them too much when we're playing. It's not to say, oh, it's been done and that's old and that's finished. You know, not at all. Is that, for me, that music's not finished. But you're not going to better that music. You can't improve on it. You have no option but to be yourself and to learn what it means to develop yourself, to develop your musical ideas. So we've learned from, you know, the greats. We've learned from the best, and we've stolen from the best as well when the time is right. But develop yourself, yeah, look within for the answers, I think.
Good insights there from Binker and Moses. Now it's time for us to head to the Gateshead Jazz Festival. Here are Binker and Moses with Fet by the River.
Hello, how you doing, Gateshead? Binker Golding on the tenor saxophone. My name is Moses Boyd. Collectively, we are Binker and Moses. Thank you for coming out and listening and giving us some vibes and making some noise. I'm seeing a few moves to the calypso. We appreciate all of that. And once again, we are Binker and Moses. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic Binker and Moses. You only need two people to form an orchestra. We'd like to dedicate that one to the dancers in the house in particular. There'll be more dancing a bit later. Trees on Fire by Binker and Moses, who had energy to burn at the Gateshead Jazz Festival, where they played tracks from their new album, Journey to the Mountain of Forever, which is out now on Gearbox Records. Do listen out for a track from that album later on the show, and we'll be going back to that performance at Gateshead too. London-based Israeli multi-reed player Gilad Atzmon has been an exciting, thought-provoking presence on the British jazz scene for the best part of two decades, and he's led many different groups in that time. A new project, Talinka, sees him work with his wife, Tali Atzmon, who was a renowned actress and singer in Israel, as well as Jenny Bliss Bennett on viola da gamba, violin, flute and vocals, and Yari Stavin on double bass, one of Gilad's regular collaborators. Together they make music that is gentle and delicate and has some very plaintive writing and improvising which draws on jazz, Middle Eastern folk, tango and early music. This is the title track of the album, Talinka. Talinka, featuring Tali Atzmon on vocals and Gilad Atzmon on reeds, Jenny Bliss Bennett on viola and Yaron Stavi on double bass. That was the piece, Talinka, which is also the title of their album. It's out on Fanfare Records. You're listening to Jazz Line It with me, Kevin Legendre, on BBC Radio 3. Next up, the visionary composer and arranger from Toronto, Gil Evans. He was one of Miles Davis's essential collaborators, and here he is putting his distinctive orchestral touch to the music of the rock pioneer Miles greatly admired, Jimi Hendrix.
Get it, girl. Say you want to take me for a ride. You just like so hard to get through to you. I don't need to run over you. All you do is slow me down, and I'm trying to get on the other side of town. I'm not the only soul who accuses of hit and run. Got tracks all across your back, baby. I can see you had your fun. But look here, darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam straight up ahead. You're just like so hard to get through to you. Girl, I don't need to run over you. All you do is slow me down. And I got better things on the other side of we
slow me down, baby.
Some new intriguing colours brought to a classic piece of music, Joni Mitchell's Woodstock, performed by a jazz supergroup featuring Jack DeJohnette, Larry Grenadier, John Medeski and John Scofield. Woodstock is from their album Hudson, which is out now on Motimar Records. And if Joni Mitchell is a great Canadian singer-songwriter who gets a lot of love from jazz musicians, then Gil Evans was a great Canadian composer and arranger. Just before Woodstock, you heard his rendition of Crosstown Traffic from the classic 1974 album The Gil Evans Orchestra Plays the Music of Jimi Hendrix. In the superb band were saxophonists Billy Harper and David Sanborn, and the trumpeters Lou Soloff and Marvin Hannibal Peterson, who also sang on that track. Next up, vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais, who is a veteran of the British jazz, soul and pop scenes, having made his debut back in the 80s with the popular jump jive band the Chevalier Brothers. Since then, he's recorded prolifically both as a bandleader and sideman with anybody from the legendary Cuban singer Omara Portuondo to drum and bass mavericks Four Hero and jazz vocalist Juliet Kelly. Roger's latest album is called Sunset, and one of the standout moments is a cover of Little Bee's Poem, signature tune of a man who I'm sure inspired Roger, the late, much lamented Bobby Hutcherson.
Thank you.
a very sensitive, wistful rendition of Bobby Hutcherson's Little Bees poem by vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais, backed by Robin Aspland on piano, Simon Thorpe on double bass, and Winston Clifford on drums. It's from the album Sunset, which is available on Stay Tuned Records. Time now for one more track from Binker and Moses from their performance at the Gateshead Jazz Festival. I've seen them several times over the years, but they were on fire that afternoon and they drew a huge audience to our free stage at the Sage Centre. This is called The Departure. Thank you. The departure by Binker and Moses from the Gateshead Jazz Festival. A great moment from the stage that Jazz Lineup hosted. Journey to the Mountain of Forever is the new studio album by Binker and Moses, which represents quite a leap forward from their 2015 debut, Dem Ones. It's a double album, with the first record being music made by the duo, and the second a series of collaborations with the likes of the iconic saxophonist Evan Parker, trumpeter Byron Wallen, and drummer Youssef Days. This track is almost like a musical meditation, a very serene piece called At the Feet of the Mountain of Forever, featuring tabla player Sarathy Korvar and harpist Tori Hansley. We'll be right back. Serene, meditative music. The sax and drum duo Binker and Moses featuring Sarathy Korvar on tabla and Tori Hansley on harp with a track called At the Feet of the Mountain of Forever from the excellent double album Journey to the Mountain of Forever. To close today, we have the legendary American drummer Lewis Hayes, who made his Blue Note Records debut last year and also celebrated his 80th birthday too. The album is a tribute to one of his former band leaders, who definitely has his place in the Jazz Hall of Fame, the master of hard bop piano, Horace Silver. From the album Serenade for Horace, this is Signor Blues. Till next time on Jazz Lineup, from me, Kevin Legend, bye-bye. We'll be right back.
New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and our Saturday matinee is a white-hot drama, Puccini's Tosca. Soprano Sonia Yonchova sings the title role of the impetuous diva. Tenor Vittorio Grigolo is her lover, the artist Mario Cavaradossi. And baritone Jelko Lucic is their nemesis, the vile Baron Scarpia. Maestro Emmanuel Villaume conducts. This sumptuous new staging by David McVicker is also being shown in movie theaters globally today, live in HD. And during intermission, we'll join HD host Isabel Leonard for backstage interviews with the stars. And we'll bring you the first opera quiz of the season. Yay! Stay with us.
And we'll be rejoining New York in a moment after their short advertising break. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation, and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Now, let's return live to New York for Act One of Tosca.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, and with me is our commentator, Ira Siff. We have a packed house here at the Met today, all of us getting ready to hear Puccini's Tosca.
Insofar as it's ever possible to be ready for Tosca, I mean, even if you know what's coming, this is unquestionably Puccini's most edge-of-your-seat opera. He wastes no time in grabbing us and keeping us glued to the drama all the way through to its shocking denouement.
Yeah, even the big arias don't slow down that momentum. They only draw us in more. We have two stars that are new to their roles, Sonia Yonchova, our Tosca, and Vittorio Grigolo, our Cavaradossi.
And they bring a very fresh, youthful energy to these famous characters.
Sir David McVicker, who directed this production, played off that energy. He encouraged them to show these lovers as passionate young people whose affair is still relatively new.
And we watch that dynamic play out against the grandeur of the Eternal City.
Yes, the opera set in Rome in 1800, and interestingly, it had its world premiere in Rome in 1900.
Right. We often hear about how it shook people's sensibilities then with its violence and its frank depiction of sexuality.
Yeah, it's based on a popular play by Victorien Sardou, La Tosca, which had premiered in Paris about a dozen years earlier.
And it caught Puccini's attention back then, but the project was shelved while he wrote Manon Lescaut and La Bohème, the two works that really put him on the map.
Yeah, the guy knew a good subject when he saw one, didn't he? Well, the opera's in three acts, and we're about to hear the first, so let me give the synopsis. It takes place in the church of Sant'Andrea della Valle,